blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Dachachami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Dachachami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By a compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by a compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Should we look at this morning? Penny. Sherry did an exercise with us on Thursday night where she had us focus all our attention on her talking, and then she stopped talking, and then we focused our attention on the empty space.
Yes.
So I've been practicing that with sitting.
So it was a demonstration, an exercise in thinking, not thinking.
Thinking, not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so much fun. And what I've done, I think of it as a kind of interval training, because what I do is I allow myself to think for the first three breaths.
Okay.
And, you know, I can think about anything I want to, and then 4 through 10, no thinking.
Uh-huh.
Because my experience is that I try not to think for the whole time. I just sort of get exhausted partway through and kind of lapse into it.
Right. So what you're playing with is counting the breaths, and from 1 through 3, you think.
I'm allowed to think.
You're allowed to think, which is interesting. Who does the allowing?
Mm-hmm.
And then from 4 to 10, you drop that.
And so I've seen a number of things. One is, I think what I had never understood before was how kind of alert and mobilized not thinking in meditation is. I think I'd seen it
alert
as
alert and mobilized.
Yeah, like, you know, so we started listening to her. You know, we were all all this attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was just the empty space. And I think somehow I had seen not by sort of being quiet or not thinking as a kind of, I can't think of a better word for it than sort of a sagging back.
Yeah, it sounds like
passive,
withdrawal
of
really
energy.
Passive.
Yes, like a withdrawal of energy. And I've never seen it as all the energy is right there, it's just that nothing's happening. So that's been a revelation.
Yeah, that's really interesting. What comes to mind for me immediately is an animal, you know, that looks completely relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that happens is right in its field of awareness.
Yes. And the other thing that's interesting is sometimes when I come back to breath number one, there's just nothing there. You know? I mean,
nobody needs to think.
And nobody needs to think. Sometimes I think, sometimes I don't. But it's really interesting. And then the other thing is, I think, what I notice is what a pleasure it is not to be thinking.
Yes, what a pleasure it is.
Yeah, and you know, for me to describe sitting as pleasure is sort of a new phenomenon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I've also noticed is just attending to all the sensations in my body, mm-hmm. you know, just where my legs are, where my fingers are, where my thumbs are, mm-hmm. is all the attention I can give. You know, uh-huh. I mean, that is fully what
my attention is. It's your full awareness. Yeah.
And then it's funny you mentioned like an animal, because that what came to mind at one point is like that wonderful Mary Oliver poem where she says, just let the soft animal of your body love what it loves.
Yes.
It feels like that. It's like uh-huh. I drop down into the body, and the body is totally content.
Yes.
To just be what it's being, do what it's doing.
Yeah, and the awareness is part of the body.
Absolutely, yeah. But it literally feels like it drops.
Uh-huh,
which
yes.
is interesting, too.
Yeah, yeah. So there's all the thinking, right, right, right.
Yeah.
And then drops, and you're in a state of alert.
Alert relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it feels like it models how it feels like Zen invites us to be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, alert relaxation.
Yeah.
And so it gives me a whole new experience of presence, what it means to be present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's both things. It's being very still and being very active at the same time.
Yeah, and having had the experience, or continuing to have the experience in the not thinking
mm-hmm.
Exercise.
Seeing the difference.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Over here on my out of my peripheral.
I've been exploring the similar things as that. And I've been seeing that the real significance of thinking, because when I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
that's when I am not present. That's when I forget things. That's when I just everything goes really awry in terms of being, of what needs to be happening in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All this is going on up here, but meanwhile the body is left on its own.
Exactly.
That's what it's doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so it just seems like, you know, it used to be kind of like this philosophical thing, you know, not thinking or being present. It used to seem like, wow, you know. But it is so very practical. I mean, it is so very much, you either have your life and you're there for it, or you're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you also are having a whole different experience of what we have been guided toward, what we mm-hmm. are being guided toward
mm-hmm.
all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that when I am attending to what is going on here.
When you're paying attention to what the thoughts are, is that?
Yes, that's
yeah.
what I mean. When my attention yeah. is there, I'm attending to that. That's where actually my life energy, my life force mm-hmm. is, because I don't have the attention on what's here. I mean, it's all
I see.
Here.
So what you're saying is when you're attending to the thinking, your life energy is not here in the present moment.
Exactly. Yeah, because mostly what's going on in the thinking is not here at all. You
yeah.
know, it's
then or
it's
then.
Made up. Yeah, it's future, it's past, or else it's just made up. It's
mm-hmm.
just jabber that, you know, ego is using to have the attention.
Yes.
Because it's so it can have the energy. I mean, sometimes I like tune into it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
But you know, what is going on? You know, it's all
yeah.
sort of behind the scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like
mm-hmm.
it's like these crazy, I don't know what's going on. And
yeah.
so
true nonsense.
Nonsense,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Just flat jawing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
quiet flat jawing, but
yeah.
it's in the head. Yeah.
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 Just enough to keep our attention in if we're not aware that that's where our attention is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is continuing to be very fun and interesting just to watch what happens when that attention gets there. It's like everything, you know, just kind of, you know, there's not anybody there. The body is going
yeah.
through life, but there's not the attention there to be doing it in a respectful way. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's just
ooh, yeah,
yeah.
So you're seeing. It sounds like you're coming more and more to see what's going on with the thinking and how it pulls you away from the present moment. how it takes your life away.
Yeah, and that experience the other night was really profound, the exercise that was just described. Mm-hmm. Because when we did it, and she said, when you stop talking, just keep attending.
Right.
Keep the attention there, but, you know, there will be a voice then. And I was just amazed that there was just absolutely, the mind was quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like,
yeah. It's kind of a clue about that. It's kind of a clue about how rarely that happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it would be in so that, surprising.
Yeah, in that, well, I mean, I know that having my attention on something that I'm doing will have me not in my mind.
Right.
But I'm not necessarily conscious that my attention is stopping the mind. But that exercise really did show me that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if I'm focused on a project or a job or something that I'm doing, and I'm really, my attention is there, if I look, I realize that kind of yammer isn't going on. But because there are things that are going through my mind in the job,
your attention is engaged.
It's not clear that thinking is not going on. Just that ego yammer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very poignant exercise, and I have too been practicing it. You know.
Yeah.
Attending to something and then saying, okay, 3, 2, 1, and then just seeing it. It's just lovely.
So my version of the interval training with that exercise is that when I'm sitting, I've been practicing 10 breaths or as many as I get to without losing what I'm doing of attending to something, like it was the sound of Sherry's voice, like the sound of something in my environment or my breathing or something that I can actually concrete that I can focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get back to one, then I let it drop away and focus on the, you know, let it just be the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 10, I go back to focusing on something concrete again. So just as a way of keeping myself there.
So let me see if I'm with you, which is doing every other section of 10, being focusing on simply something in the environment,
mm-hmm.
sounds or your breathing, or well, it's not exactly, it is in the environment, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then doing the counting 1 to 10, focusing on the counting,
mm-hmm.
and breathing.
Just the being there, just
mm-hmm.
just the attention, the mm-hmm. dropping away, but still counting.
Right, right. And so what are you finding?
Well, what I'm finding is that when I first start sitting and do that, it feels like there's a lot of efforting going on mm-hmm. to make that happen. You know, mm-hmm. don't, you know, sort of a, I'm not trying really hard, but I'm tight.
Yeah, it's there's like, somebody there
there's
really
somebody,
trying to make it happen.
There's somebody there who's sort of determined.
Yes.
You know, and it's a little, I would say the experience is tight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not thinking, mm-hmm. so I'm quote, successful in that regard.
Yeah.
But I'm aware that, that, you know, like, it almost feels like my face is scrunched up, even though it isn't.
Yeah, it sounds like somewhere in there, there's a little story going on.
Yeah, well, it's just that there's a someone making it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, after a while, then that goes away.
Uh-huh.
And there's just being there.
Yeah.
And that so, and there's a really nice period of it feeling really relaxing, really present, really spacious. And then I noticed, at least what I noticed this morning in the sitting, I hadn't noticed it so much before, that then all of a sudden someone forgot.
Uh-huh. Oops.
Oops. And I noticed that someone uh-huh. started thinking again.
Yeah.
And
that moment, somewhere that switch from here to not here.
Yeah, got flipped.
Yeah.
And I'm not aware of how that happened, actually.
Yeah.
But it did. And then I was aware that I realized that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And as often happens, so I came back to the practice, and one breath later, the bell rang.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that that's mm-hmm. been sort of in my all my years of my sitting practice, that's often been true. That I always, if I'm gone, I will catch myself right before the bell.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, I have that same experience. It's a really interesting phenomenon that somehow conditioning lets us have that minute. But gets all the others that happened before it.
And I've also been practicing with it not in sitting, just when I'm aware that I'm in a story of consciously thinking, not thinking.
And what happens?
I get that spaciousness. You know, I really, it really does, the story goes away.
And that practice feels so important. That feels like our really getting mastery of directing the attention.
Right, that's the work in a way. Yeah. And I my experience also is that it's a little disorienting in my day to realize that I've not been thinking.
You know, disorienting, we can suspect, to conditioning.
Because it's so more familiarly me to do that. So last night when I was doing some, I was doing recording and listening, and I was talking about that, about how it just feels like I'm not in the world as I know it, that I'm somehow not quite, it does, like it doesn't feel familiar.
Which it wouldn't.
Which it wouldn't, because it's not the same world. And the mentor actually said, well, yes, and said something along the lines of, so the practicing the not thinking and the not going with the stories is going to have the effect of making the stories rev up. You know, it's gonna it's gonna
try and get you back.
Invite them to escalate, to try and get me there, and so the mentor said, so therefore the practice for that is to continue the not thinking. So it was like you practice the not thinking, you get maybe the result of more thinking, and so what you have to practice is not thinking.
Is more not thinking. Yeah, it's really interesting, because what I was just projecting onto that is that for each of us, that our karma is going to filter this experience into itself.
Yes.
How is it going to do that? We're going to be able to predict.
Exactly.
Okay, fine. June.
So, my karma to avoid discomfort and maintain kind of a sort of a very pseudo-peaceful inner and outer experience is being challenged by discord with a family member, which is highly, highly unusual. And in fact, I don't remember ever having discord with a family member. And there is nothing wrong with you. In one of the student guide interactions, the guide, I can't remember the point she was making, I think it, I don't know, but the, and she used as an example, if there's discord with a family member, I'm going to focus there until that discord is. And so this karma's version of focusing there, you know, is just do anything to anything.
Yeah, get the peace back, get the equanimity.
Get back to that status quo.
Yeah.
And and also, I kind of look at, well, yeah, we can't, I'm not the only one involved, so I can't just fix it by completely capitulating.
This stuff, yeah.
And so, which is good, I understand that's good. And so on some level, I can kind of see that it's probably going to be all right in the end, that their life will provide, life will provide some solution.
Yeah.
But this I wants life to hurry the heck up.
Yeah, because she is really uncomfortable.
She's uncomfortable with this. You know, I don't know what to say about it except that it, as uncomfortable as it is, it's pretty fascinating to watch it.
Can you say more about what, how it is fascinating?
Well, it's the part that's most fascinating to me is to have known for so many years that I just had this karma in spades.
Yeah.
And have worked with it for years and years, and had deluded myself into thinking that maybe there was a little headway into not exactly just going there with no thought. And yet, I received an email a few days ago and composed a response a possible response I was going to share with the other people involved, and did not realize until I was sharing it that it was complete capitulation. I talked this over with the guy, and she made the point that the initial response from the mentor was to find the place of compassion. But then the karma took that and fixed it like it thought compassion was.
Yes, yes.
So wildly not it.
Yeah. Which sounds like it's really, really huge to be seeing.
Yeah, to just see that my buttons can get pushed so hard that karma can get so triggered that it's the world. That's just all that's here.
It's the way it is, and this is what has to happen.
Yeah. So, once again, refuge in Sangha.
Yeah.
Dharma, Bodhi. Without support.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it has to be there always.
Yeah.
Or, let's see, if the commitment is to meet suffering, it's real good to just stay right there and then with that refuge, don't ever get away from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you look at capitulation, is there any sense of what happens to the being?
I might not be understanding the question, but what happens is simply that karmic push toward comfort, flatline, pseudo-peaceful life is restored, would be ostensibly.
Yeah.
Because there would be resentment.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of what gets left behind.
For 10 minutes, it would, the peace that would be restored.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, just long enough to make it feel like it's working.
Yeah, so the karma wants that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And after 10 minutes, when this comes back, we'll come up with another one.
Yeah.
But you just stick with me, and we'll find a way to burrow through it,
yeah, again, it feels like it's really something quite enormous to be seen.
Distressing. That that it could arise so, and that this meeting would go with it so completely.
Yeah.
Only for the length of time that it took to compose and then share that email.
Yeah. It's awesome, really. Yeah. But it sounds powerful.
So as always, it's good to say it all out loud.
Yeah. Thank you. It's cool.
Oh, that kind of derailed my share.
Mm-hmm.
I can so relate. I've been looking at this lately, too. And in a lot of areas, I've had discord with family members as well. And mm-hmm. But also just looking at this, this karmic tendency toward keeping the status quo and comfort is so
keeping
deep.
Everything comfortable.
Yeah, so deep that this being actually, what it seems like, can't even is unable to see some. You know, there's some things that happen that are uncomfortable, and it just seems like they're not even seen.
The discomfort is not seen.
No, the situation that may be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it's like it. I don't know how to say this. Whether it's denial, or, you know, it's just like I don't see that.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not happening.
Uh-huh.
But it's not that conscious.
Yeah, it's like the karmic perspective only has a limited breadth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I'm understanding what you're saying, and things can happen that are actually happening but can't be seen, if the karmic perspective is all there is, no, there's nothing there that's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
or
that's
whatever.
Not happening.
That's not happening.
It's totally not happening.
Yeah.
But,
sometimes gets called negative hallucination.
Yeah,
things that are there aren't seen.
Exactly. It's shocking.
It's shocking.
It is very shocking.
Yes.
And what I've noticed is, even though it's not like, I don't know, at some level it's not taken in, it is taken in. Mm-hmm. There is a level at the heart that is taking it in.
Yes.
It has an effect on this being, even though it's not conscious.
Kind of like dreams we don't remember, but somehow there's something going on that.
And every time, and every time that just, and it seems like then somewhere farther down the line, the thing that I tried so hard not to see, tried so hard not to be in that discomfort. I mean, it's seen.
Yeah.
You know.
It's no longer possible to get it invisible or whatever, because the elephant is in the room.
and it's just always extremely shocking, like, oh my God.
Mm. It's that again. It's that place of how incredibly powerful karma can be.
Yeah,
that it can keep us from seeing something that once we see it, how did we
not
see it?
How did I not see that?
Yeah,
it just, you know, and of course it just gives rise to like, oh my God, what else am I, what else am I not seeing? Not only what makes me uncomfortable, but what's wonderful, what's there?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Talk about a lot of reasons to be awake.
Yeah, what is being filtered out?
Yes.
That,
gosh, that's such a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
And the whole spectrum of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that has to be filtered out. I mean, a lot has to be filtered out.
Yeah.
It's not just, I can see it's not just those few things. Mm-hmm. There must be an extreme amount being filtered out.
Yeah, which it sounds like you're on to.
I'm beginning to be on to. And, the other thing that I was wanting to share was just this thing about the no thinking, and what's happened is, I think I seem to be becoming more aware of how I'm used, my energy is used as a, I don't know, what comes up is like a feeding station, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And how I've just been watching how, you know, like yesterday practice, we had an opportunity to sit all afternoon
mm-hmm.
and really coming back to the breath and practicing that place in the thought and feeling very expansive. Just a lot of happiness and watch, and it slipped in. And I caught it because I started recording and listening, and that helped me catch it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, some thinking started to slip in, some
mm-hmm.
body sensations started to slip in, and
mm-hmm.
that all just started to be attached.
Little stories started to arise.
Stories descend, you know, all the tendrils, you know?
Yeah, creepy is a good, yeah.
Yeah, the dissatisfaction, and I, oh my God, get off of me, you know? It just felt... It was creepy.
Yeah. And watching that come in to capture your energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it. It was just like, again, I said, you know, it's just like, come over here, lay down, let us put this IV in your arm and suck off.
Your life. Yeah.
You know? And, there's nothing nice about it.
Right.
It's downright kind of.
Yeah.
You know, sinister too.
And what did you do as you saw that begin to creep in? Other than obviously be aware of it.
And it was like,
to it.
Oh my God. You know, I turned my attention. You know, I said, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making myself available for this. Like, I see you.
Yes.
I see what's happening.
Yeah.
That's not my choice. And I just like in that moment, I can see what I was being fed was just a patch of lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
probably vaguely related to your karma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. And that, you know, again, you know, it was some young part that was being used in that way.
Yeah, to practice so we can stop having the innocence used for creepy purposes.
Exactly.
So you turned your attention away from it.
I did.
You said no thank
and
you.
Wow. You know, and just the sense of what a gratefulness and just a blessed relief to know that that has no basis. Nothing had any basis in reality.
Yeah.
It was just the breath.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just right here.
Just right here. That's the only thing that I can actually be somewhat, I don't even know if I want to say sure of, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ever expanding thing.
Right. Exactly. Ever expanding thing.
Yeah.
So,
Okay.
I had an experience of something that feels very similar to what was just shared, and So something happened that triggered a vein of karma that's just really a very, very old, deeply worn vein of karma that is very much believed by, and what I've been
seeing. When those stories come along, somebody just, yeah.
Yeah, well, what I have actually seen is that ego wants these stories. This is something, this is a place where ego wants me to be, is believing these particular stories.
But it's ego's there.
Yeah, because it's getting my life when this happens. And so it directs my attention to interpreting external things along this storyline.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Oh! And, you know, I never saw that for, well, you know, I'm not a baby at this point. It took a long, long time. Because I must have come in with a propensity to believe this story. And ego seems smart enough that it knows what your propensity is. And so it hammers away at it. And so every time it hammers away and I believe, then it's stronger the next time. Because, well, the belief that I have is stronger because it seems to validate that it's a true story.
Yes. Yes, see, it's reinforced over and over and over.
Look, it's true, it's happening.
Right.
But it's only because it's being interpreted through that lens that it's happening. But because it is being interpreted by that lens, through that lens, it really looks like it's happening.
Yes. It proves everything.
It proves it, yeah. So here it comes along, you know, I think it was just last week, where certain people get together and I'm not included. And it starts. This whole left out karma that is so boring at this point. But you know, some parts just, it's so compelling to some parts. And so I'm like, you know, it's starting to happen and I'm going, wait a minute. You know, I have nothing to do with the subject that's involved with these people getting together. It has nothing to do with me. I have other subjects with those folks, but this particular thing has nothing to do with me. It would be silly to think that I should be included in that. It's absolutely not appropriate. So I went about what I had to do. I talked myself through it. Well, okay, well, what's appropriate for you to do? Oh, okay, that's my opportunity, and so I went about doing that. And
including yourself in your life.
Doing what my life is, and not trying to you know, not follow along the story, but just being made up. Yes. I mean, I could see it in that case, just being laid over this. And I could see how many other times it's been. So off I go, you know, and every once in a while a story would come up. I just go, story. And after a while, I can't believe this, it was just the most fun thing. I totally forgot about it. I forgot about it completely. And I thought, yes, that is it right
That's
there.
Perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, just name it for what it is. See what's going on. Notice that it's gone on, you know, I mean, it's not new, so it's likely to be something karmic. And
turn your attention to something else.
Turn my attention to something else that's appropriate for me to be attending to.
Yeah.
And just go on with my life.
Yeah, and the story completely loses all of its ability to yank you out of the life you do have.
Yeah, and later on in the night, when I realized I forgot about it, I just laughed so hard. I just thought, oh, thank you. You know, thank you. Whatever energy has kept me, in spite of all my very stubborn clinging to karma, to stay with practice, I just thought, oh my God, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's really a miracle. I have, you know, put my head above the, you know, to see some light from the dungeon. Have chosen something different, at least in that, you know, I mean, I don't think I can go back from actually having seen that so clearly.
Well, and I hope you recorded all of that.
Oh, I did. That's part of what helped me to see it, actually. actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, was talking about it and the mentor, you know, being there. And
then it gets where it can actually be really, really funny.
Yeah.
Hard to imagine that from within it, but it's possible.
Yeah.
Throw in my two cents, very similar to what other folks are saying. I had a lovely moment, I think it was yesterday, also practicing with the exercise we did on Tuesday night, and turning my attention to no mind, not thinking. And I watched, very similar to what was just talked about, there was a moment when the karma had, I don't even know exactly how to say it, because it's not, it wouldn't be, it doesn't feel accurate to say the karma was triggered, because the point is it wasn't. There was an opening for it. And I watched the energy stay still. And it was extraordinary.
Yeah.
It was just so, and the, what was funny is then there was just this, it was actually during sitting that this happened, and this elation. And then I watched how, I don't even have the quote, I was trying, I was recording about it later, I don't quite have the words for it, but the elation was there, and yet the energy still remains still, which is interesting. I think sort of a, I suppose what's occurring to me now is that all of that was just happening with the absence of an eye for it to happen to, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. There was just awareness and the opening for karma and the staying just still. And then the elation and staying still.
Yeah, it's been really fun to practice that, just like other people are talking about, really practicing it, practicing the sort of not thinking or no mind as a, you know, as we practice anything, you know, our tennis game or whatever, and a sense of like, okay, is it available now? In this, you know, this, in this thing is triggered, or I'm eating, or I'm listening to my recordings, or I'm walking, or I'm cleaning, or I'm sorry, is it available now? Is it available now? Is it available now?
Yeah.
And just that sort of fun, just really, oh, well, I know one of my, one of the things I just saw about it that's such a pleasure for me with the karma that that I work with a lot is that there is no assessor in that place of no mind. There's no, you know, the thing, a piece of karma that can so easily drag me back into suffering.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. No, I don't think so. No, that wasn't quite it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, or gross forms of it, but that's sort of more, you know, after a lot of practice, that's more the flavor it takes. No, not quite. No. And what I watch is in that place of no mind, there's no assessment. Not even a, well, now is this really no mind?
Yeah, yeah, no preferences.
It's not there. It's not there. And I, you know, I've just been saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the grace of, even if it's just I touch in there for a moment and then there's something that comes in or touch back in, somehow all of that seems fun and interesting. There's no sort of problem with, you know, then the, oh, then I notice the assessment come back in, or whatever. It's just all feels like practicing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as though it's been put forth at all as a way to become, as a thing that needs to be all the time.
As a contest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's simply try this and see what it's like, and we get to keep trying it, because thinking seems to keep coming back.
Well, and you know, Sherry will often talk about don't allow something to get on the should list. Like we talk about a lot of sitting meditation. So sitting meditation is something that so supports me, and I want to do it. And so how is conditioning going to take that away from me, make me think I should do it?
Yes, or you're not doing enough and you should do more.
And so, I mean, I really, really saw how wow, in that place of practicing no mind, there is no suffering. There is no suffering. And all it would take to end suffering is to choose always to be there.
Yeah.
Always.
And it is always available.
Yeah. And it feels like the kindness, the gentleness, the compassion that I'm hearing in what everyone's saying this morning of allowing the being to practice that and to discover that is what I want.
Yeah.
So to keep it as a choice instead of a should is so is such a perfect way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and in the recitation in the morning, choosing, well, we often say, choosing something over ending suffering, or am I choosing to end suffering? And it becomes clear with an with this exercise that we do have a choice.
Yes, and it's so simple, because the minute we see that, choosing something over ending suffering, I think for a long time I would go, let's see, what am I choosing?
What have I got to get rid of?
Now, should I, gosh, now what would be the best? Instead, just going, is no mind available here?
Yeah.
And it always is. And it truly is that other thing, whatever it was, in a split second, is not just like someone was just saying, it's the memory of it is not even there.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist in that place.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say it won't exist in the next millisecond, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
Because then immediately when there's the recognition of the choice again, I can make that choice again.
The extinction of suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The part in this that's a little bit tricky for me is that space where there's not thinking, that it can be, there's a way that it can exclude things. That's not
like
coming
from
here.
Out.
Yeah, because it feels like, you know, when we, as we sit, one of the things we, you know, we learn how to focus and how to concentrate. And that's what gives us the ability to kind of move into that space and live in that space. But there's also a way in which it can, for me, it can kind of force a space. It's like a pseudo space, you know, to force a space that's there that is, it. I mean, in a way, it is without thinking, but there's a, it's not exactly thinking, but it's like there's a shell around it that's, you know, there's a identity shell around it, you might say, that's excluding things that it doesn't want to deal with. And to go in that space, it's kind of similar. I think, I don't know, but to what people were talking about earlier about the trying to maintain the equanimity, that's kind of, I think one person said, it's like a pseudo-equanimity or something like that. It's kind of like that. So the reason I'm looking at it right now is I had a quite challenging week, actually, this week, and something happened in the earlier week was very difficult for several parts of me and stuff, but there was a lot of feelings that happened as a result of that. And so what I've been practicing this week is how to you know, be in that place where that space is. And the space is filled with, when there's not that shell around it, the space is filled with love, really. You know, divinity is the way I would think about it. But and so, well, where's the feeling? Because that's kind of, I've been... If the feelings are not there, they're back here someplace. There's still energy in them, but they're being kind of put on a shelf back here.
Yeah.
So like how to bring all the feelings, and also you might say like the parts of me who are having the feelings into that space without it becoming full of their thinking. And being identified with it.
Oh, their stories. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so how are you finding a way to make that happen?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like it's very hard to describe, but it's like instead of being out here, it's more in here.
So it's come inside the shell?
Yeah, well, it's like that, you know, practicing the presence of God, you know, is the little theme that I'm on, other people are on. At least I heard somebody else say it the other day, mm-hmm. right now. And so there's the presence, you know, we might talk about it as compassion, you know, like in our language. You know, yeah. So there's like a ball of compassion, you know, it's full, it's three-dimensional, it doesn't really have an end, so it's not really a ball, but it's just, yeah. it's thick, it's like soup, mm-hmm. you know, there's, it's there, and then, yeah, it's hard to talk about, but the feelings are floating around, karmically they're floating around outside the ball, mm-hmm. and then it's just, I think it's just a matter of noticing, oh yeah, they're there.
Yeah.
There's feelings here. And then inviting them.
Acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then inviting them into that
yes.
space. Because I think if anybody's left out, it's not the real thing.
Yeah.
So that's been, anyway, that's a lot yeah. of words for it.
Yeah, a really interesting place to be looking because, pseudo-Zen can take anything. Conditioning can take anything and turn it into something that works for it rather than us. And that sounds like a situation where you were seeing that somehow something or someone's or the feelings were being left out of the peace or the equanimity or the and that there it sounds like there's a sense of expanding to include them without getting carried off by the stories that might also be available.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's like they're included anyway. It's an illusion that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like conditioning as a way of putting a little bubble around them.
Yeah.
And then hiding them back here somewhere.
Yeah, right? Making them other. Mm-hmm. Making them, yeah, not included.
Yeah. It's a very interesting little thing for me because I was talking to some group recently. I don't remember when it was, but that there's a volitional aspect. Oh, it must have been last Tuesday. I can choose to be united with the moment. It's not a passive, like I have to wait for mm-hmm. it to come to me. I can go to it,
mm-hmm.
but there's a really subtle kind of thing in there where, is it life that is inviting life to be there, or is it a somebody who is doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a somebody who's doing that, I mean, what's subtle about it is, I mean, it's karma, that's what's subtle about it, but it's a, it feels good, you know, it feels quiet,
mm-hmm.
but there's a tension that happens mm-hmm. in the background
mm-hmm.
because not everybody's invited to that place.
Yeah, but somebody was talking that way earlier. Yeah, mm-hmm. and that tension is a clue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been actually been really helpful this week because it's been, you know, I can't really, this stuff is stirred up, so I can't really ignore the mm-hmm. feelings,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
so it gets kind of obvious if, okay, wait a second, you know, where is everybody?
yeah, it's very quiet, but there's some kind of murmuring somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like shoving the kids into the back room, you know,
yeah, right.
And locking the door.
Play with your video games.
Exactly, yeah. Wait a second, where is everybody?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's...
Then they get too quiet.
Yeah. Well, they don't, I mean, they're just unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're just unhappy.
Yeah, and recognizing that and
yeah.
bringing them in or mm-hmm. expanding to it further.
I had a moment a couple of days ago, early in the morning, down by the creek. I do this little thing where I go exercise down there, and then I try to make enough time that I have like 10 or 15 minutes to, while I'm down on the road, to stop exercising and walk and talk with a mentor mm-hmm. down there, which mm-hmm. is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little, I was saying to myself, this is so therapeutic. And I accessed this part of me who's angry, who doesn't normally get access very much.
Mm-hmm.
And just allowing the space for him to, it's the same thing I was talking about, but have the space for him to feel his feelings, but not needing to believe the story that goes along
yeah.
with those.
Yeah.
And it was so relaxing and, you know, like in muscle tension relaxing to do that. And so it's exactly the same thing, but just talking about it in a different way.
Yeah, that relaxation, again, being the clue on the other side of the tension that, letting go is happening.
Yeah, everybody gets to be here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got a little bit of time. Alan?
I was just going to touch on some stuff that's been coming up for me. I really related to that, and I related to the disturbance part, avoiding disturbance at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking recently about conditioning's report card, and it seems like this phrase came through this morning. I don't recognize myself.
I don't recognize myself.
Yeah, it was just something that came through. It was like, and I was just really fascinated with it. I had a conversation with my mother recently, and she, you know, we just talk about the weather just because she's really interested in that.
And, it's getting a bit boring around here, but.
she said something to me that she started off, she said, oh, I heard this thing about this woman who hurt herself really bad in yoga, and I wanted to bring it up to you. And I watched myself just say to her, you know, you could hurt yourself doing anything. Mm-hmm. And she started in, she continued, she didn't hear me say that, so I just said, you know, you could hurt yourself doing anything. You know, if I didn't warm up and I started lifting weights or something, I could hurt myself. And she just stopped in her tracks, you know, and I just started off on a lecture about how, you know, the television, there are billions of people who are getting fit doing this, and they're going to release this news story about one woman who hurt herself doing yoga, and that's going to send everybody off into fear, sit on the couch and eat potato chips, and not do yoga. And then I just started, you know, basically just letting her know. And normally, I just go along and I say, ah, ha, 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 you know, everybody. And that's just the part where I don't recognize myself. Yeah. It's just like, it's being really well received. That's the really difficult part for karma, I think, because normally what I end up with is like, oh, why are you doing that? That is just so not right. You know, this is your mother. She just, you know, she didn't mean it. She's just thinking it's interesting because you do yoga and she's concerned.
Yeah.
So.
And that would be the story after the phone conversation.
Pretty much.
That would go on kind of quietly making you feel bad.
Yeah, and when I went to go visit them over the, you know, the time that I had, stuff like that would happen very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I mean, it's just like, I thought that, okay, this is it. You know, I've just totally destroyed them, you know, and...
when you gave your lecture.
Anything, you know, if the lecture was over the phone, the time when I was with them, I was doing similar things like that.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, just like, okay, this is it. And it's just being really well received, and I don't know what to do with it. Our conditioning doesn't know what to do with it. So this phrase just keeps coming through. It's like, I don't really recognize myself, because it seems like stuff is coming up that has pretty much just been non-existent for so long, or at least it's been repressed in some way or another. And I'm supposed to, under conditioning standards, supposed to avoid these kinds of things at all costs.
Yes.
And try to fix them somehow.
Yeah.
I really related to that. Anyway, I know we're out of time, but.
But in the interest of equanimity, you're supposed to be a non-person.
Yeah.
And then you come out and start expressing what's going on for you and are totally shocked that it's well received, that you are well received.
Yeah, I think that there's a very huge going along with what everybody else is doing and being a supportive role in that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same conversation, I started expressing things about what I was interested in and what I was passionate about, loved, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, that's new. I've never done that before. You know, it's just like, because I'm supposed to talk about the weather. And,
you're supposed to stay safe subject.
Stay safe, because it's really unsafe to express what I really like, because it'll just get what comes up is it'll just get used against me somehow along the way.
And, it's interesting because that's what karma's been doing, isn't it? Is using against you all of the things that now you're being able to.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So it's being a really unfamiliar time, and I'm just open to that. It's really handy that the non-thinking open space has been available as a place to rest in. Because it seems like a lot of this kind of stuff is coming up within not knowing who I am or not being really interested in that any longer. And finding out what's there when all of that other stuff is not.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anyway,
thank kind you of the much. Reverse of what conditioning and karma would have us believe.
Well, yeah. There's very definite things that you can and cannot do, right and wrong things to be thinking. And
Oh, well. As it thinks all the wrong things. But it's like a really important and inspiring experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, grateful.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is our time. Thank you all.